Welcome to MedCast, the podcast from MedCAI, the Maryland State Medical Society. Each episode, we'll be doing a deep dive into medicine and taking an insider's view on issues facing the Maryland physicians and patients and healthcare more broadly. My name is Dr. Stephen Rockauer. Today, my guest is Dr. Lorelei Ma, a radiologist in Howard County. Welcome, Dr. Ma.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with a few simple things. Tell me something about your background, your educational background, how you got into medicine and radiology, and how you became president of MedCAI.
Thanks, Steve. Well, I'm originally from the Midwest, and I did all of my training at the University of Illinois. I did my bachelor's, my PhD, and then I was drawn to medicine and did an MD. And in doing that, I actually was connected with some interesting people who knew people at Hopkins. And they sent me there for a medical student internship in radiology. And the moment I did it, I fell in love. I just loved imaging. I loved the dark room. I loved looking at images and realizing that I could make diagnoses on people. And so that's how I ended up coming out to the East Coast, because I matched at Hopkins for residency. And once I was actually here in Maryland, I became involved first with the Maryland Radiological Society, which is our state radiology society. And then I met mentors who introduced me to MedCAI. And I realized that even though I think about medicine as what I do, that really medicine is what all physicians do, and that we're stronger together than apart, and that our voice as physicians as a whole is really what moves the needle in helping us treat our patients and helping us do the best job we can.
How has your experience as the president of MedCAI been so far?
Well, it's been really rewarding. I mean, it's been a tough time. COVID has been a challenge. I mean, the two presidents before me, Michelle Manahan and Shannon Pryor, were dealing with the early times of COVID. Shannon really in the middle of it, in the thick of it. And then I have been towards the end of COVID, what we're hoping is the end of COVID. And it was a challenging time for MedCAI. MedCAI really stepped up, everybody at MedCAI, the staff, the doctors. We stepped up and we actually helped, you know, get CME for doctors to actually have daily calls with the health secretary to learn about all of the new things happening in terms of COVID, the vaccines, the status of shutdowns and the such. And then very importantly, what was super important for our state really in order to treat our patients was telehealth, the ability to reach out to our patients when we could not physically see them. And it was amazing that A, the technology was there, but it wasn't being used, that MedCAI helped doctors actually get platforms that were HIPAA and otherwise federally and state compliant to physicians so that they could do that with their patients. That was really important. At the same time, we realized, and this was a kind of a shock to me, that there was a lot of our society that's disenfranchised, society members that are not being able to see their doctors. Maybe the diabetic woman who can't get a cab or an Uber to see her doctor. Maybe the person with chronic health problems other than diabetes who really can't, you know, who can't see their doctor because of monetary issues, because of physical issues. And telehealth, even more than just for COVID, is a very useful thing. And MedCAI has been very helpful in helping doctors do that. And I think beyond this, telehealth is going to be a big deal. I think it's also very helpful in the mental health sphere because, you know, you're able to reach out to patients that otherwise wouldn't be able to be seen. And, you know, there's been a lot of loneliness in this epidemic. That time without being able to interact with other people brought out a lot of depression and a lot of anxiety and then a lot of drug issues. And these are the things that has been, you know, really important for MedCAI to help with. And I feel like it's an important time to be president, and it's a hard time, but, you know, it's very rewarding.
Have you been able to work with other presidents of other societies, of other states to work on any of these issues?
Well, at the AMA, I'm definitely working with other, you know, other doctors from other states. And we've had some interaction with doctors from other states, such as Delaware and Pennsylvania, and we compare notes. But really right now, because of the pandemic, everything's been virtual except for maybe a couple of meetings. And I'm looking forward to finally seeing people in person.
Yes, I know that our upcoming House of Delegates meeting is planned to be in person. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody at that time. How do you see, as the health emergency is going away, is telehealth going to be able to continue in Maryland?
Well, we are definitely hoping that telehealth will be able to continue in Maryland. There has been legislation introduced, and I'm hoping it will get passed that will keep telehealth going at least for a few years, and I hope forever, because I do think that telehealth is important, that we can reach out to more patients with both the telehealth visits and remote patient monitoring to actually help people with chronic diseases so they don't have to come to the hospital, so that we can take care of their illnesses before they come. At the same time, you know, we've realized that being able to reach out to them means also having better broadband access. And so one of the things that I think is important, I know the medical students and others are really interested in this, is getting better broadband, better internet to the inner city, to the areas that don't have good internet, so that people can have access to all sorts of information, medical information, and their own physicians.
That's wonderful. You said early on that you had help from some mentors to get you into radiology when you were a resident. What were some of the best pieces of advice that you've gotten?
Well, one of the best pieces of advice that I got was to follow my gut feeling, to follow what I really loved. And when I was a third year medical student, I really was late in deciding what to become. And I did have a PhD in biophysics, but I was somewhat more interested in oncology. But my mentor said, well, why don't you just go out and try radiology at Hopkins, try to do the clinical rotation, and let's just see how it goes. And just a feeling in my gut said, you know what, let me just go out there and try it. And so, you know, the moment I got there, obviously it was a different experience to be from a, you know, Midwestern girl on a farm and in a kind of a farming community in the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana, right out to the big city in Baltimore. But the moment I started looking at those images, it was amazing, you know, what we could see inside the body. And that was what fascinated me. In terms of politics, one of my mentors really taught me that you really have to look at the long game. You have to look at what your goals are and realize that you can't win everything, that you have to just really look at the long game and try to work towards it slowly. And that even your goals can change because, you know, you can actually learn a lot from people you even don't agree with. When you learn about their points of view, all of a sudden you can see things from a different perspective. And my mentors have taught me to look at those perspectives and then to try to work towards goals together.
I understand completely about your ideas of learning from people that you don't necessarily agree with. When I was a resident, I learned some of my best surgical techniques or planning from some of my worst attendings because I saw the trouble that they got into and we figured out how to get out of it. And that was very good learning. Speaking of advocacy, how have you going into advocacy during your presidency?
Well, this year it's been very interesting because it looked like at first that we might be able to, you know, get back to in-person meeting. And then all of a sudden Omicron came again after the Delta variant was sort of waning. And we had to kind of go back into a virtual legislative session. And that was challenging. But at the same time, we did know the ropes from last year. It's actually been a very interesting session. We had a lot of interesting bills that were to do with telehealth, so to speak. That's one of the big ones, actually. We also had a really big win this year because we have payment parity for Medicaid. And therefore, Medicaid will be paid at the same rates as Medicare as long as the budget goes through. And that's really important because that allows patients who are on Medicaid to be able to have healthcare because, you know, it's paid at a reasonable amount. And one of the other big wins that we had this year is that there's an insurance bill that we were looking at that could have been a danger to doctors. And we could have said, no, we're not doing that. We're not going to be involved, you know, just no, no, no. And yet we said, you know what? If you're not at the table, you're on the menu. Why not listen and see if we can work towards a goal together? And actually, we have worked towards a goal together, and it looks like that bill will probably pass. And it's in a way that is good for doctors and patients and reasonable for the insurers as well. And so I think those are things that are positives for this session.
Yes, the thing that has been best for doctors and patients and the insurance companies has been our agreement with Blue Cross on two-sided risk, which should turn out to be very, very good. And Maryland is a leader in that around the country. Funding for this podcast has been made possible by Unity Insurance, a full-service insurance agency specializing in solutions for the healthcare profession. Since 1975, they've been providing solutions to meet the needs of physicians like you. Learn more at unityinsurance.co. Funding for this podcast has been made possible by iPrescribe. Toss your prescription pad. Now there's a safe and easy way to prescribe any drug from your smartphone while you're away from the office. The app also includes access to your patient's medical history, state PDMP, clinical alerts, and more. Visit iPrescribe.com to learn more. What kind of advice would you give to younger physicians who want to go into organized medicine getting into their practices and joining in with medical societies?
Well, I think it's just really important just to sign up and get involved. Get involved with your state medical society, your state specialty society, and just, you know, really see what they have to offer. Go to some meetings, go to some virtual meetings, which are now available. I know that it's hard for medical students and residents and people who are just getting started sometimes to go to physical in-person meetings. But with the virtual offerings, I think you can really get an idea of what's available. And I would really, you know, I would really say that it would be a great thing for the young people to do. The other thing is to just get involved with mentors, meet people, find out their ideas, and find out ways to get involved, whether it's a fundraiser to go to, or if it's some sort of outreach. There's a lot of different ways to be involved, and it doesn't always have to be strictly political.
That's absolutely true. You know, I've always said that you need to get in touch with your local legislators and let them know that you're interested in the local roads or the lights on the corner or stop signs or something, so that when it comes around to the session in Annapolis, that they know your face. It's very important, you know, for legislators to know who you are, whether you're a medical student or intern or resident or, you know, attending along the line.
And, you know, it's actually true because we take our radiology residents down to Annapolis and also to Capitol Hill, and the legislators just love to see the young people. They love to see their constituents. They love to see new faces. And they're really, they're even more willing to speak and to really, you know, interact, because they realize it's not just the people that they usually see, but young people as well who are getting interested. And we've had great experiences with our residents when we brought them to Capitol Hill and to Annapolis.
Yeah, the residents are the future, and it's important to have residents becoming involved in all of this, and not just in medicine, because physicians have to be physicians to the whole patient and to their communities.
And it's true, you know, really, when we talk about medicine and we say, you know, is it going well? Is it going badly? What will the future be? Well, you know, you have no voice in that future if you're not participating in it. Then you're just a pawn. I mean, in this way, if you can participate, you can be active and you can at least have some role and knowledge about what your future will be. And doing that's not just selfish. This is to help our patients. When we help the practice of medicine, we help patients, because we help patients get better care, more access to care, higher quality care. And that's the most important thing.
So let's get a little bit more personal for a few minutes. What kind of things would you be doing on the weekend?
Well, I actually am an avid walker. I love walking. And in the summer, I love swimming. And I love my hot tub as well. So I'm pretty much an outdoors person, not a hiker per se, but a big walker, 5 to 10 miles a day. It's just for me that, you know, I sit in a dark room all the time looking at images, and I love it and I think it's fascinating. But when I'm done with that, I really like to get outdoors.
What would you be doing if you were not a physician?
If I was not a physician, I'd be a professor. I think I would probably teach in one of the biological sciences or possibly in physics, because I was always very interested in physics. And I would love to be in the university setting, and I would love to be on the college campus teaching students.
Oh, that's wonderful. I can see you as a professor. I really can.
Thank you.
What are you reading or watching or listening to?
Well, recently I was reading a pretty dense book called A New World by Eckhart Tolle. And it's a philosopher who talks about mindfulness and ego. And I think it is an interesting book, difficult to read, but I like it because it also teaches me that sometimes when you're interacting with other people, sometimes you're thinking about what you want to say or what you think, and that's partly your ego, and that it's important actually to let go of your ego and listen to what other people have to say and what they think, and that actually, that loss of ego helps you to come to solve problems together.
The basis of being a physician is interacting with your patient and coming to where they are. Very important. I agree completely. So what drives you to become a better physician?
Well, you know, in medicine and in radiology in particular, we just have new technologies all the time. When I first was training at Hopkins, the MRIs could barely see the knee or barely see the ankle. You certainly couldn't see the ligaments. You could barely see the tendons. And now MRI has become so high quality that you can see the tiny ligaments and the tiny nerves in the fingers. And you can see cranial nerves at the skull base. And it's amazing all that we can see now. And a lot of that I've had to learn since I left my residency, because that has been at least 25, 30 years ago. And so a lot of what I've learned has been since I left Hopkins. And it really drives me to keep up, because, you know, there's so much more that we can do for people. It's fascinating now that I can see the cranial nerves at the skull base, see if there's a vessel pressing on it, and that's the cause of the person's facial pain. We just couldn't see that back in the day when I was training.
And we're all subject to lifelong learning and continuing medical education so that we can become better physicians to provide better care for our patients. Is there any particular field that you like to do the most? Musculoskeletal or neuro or GI?
Well, I do love musculoskeletal radiology. I'm actually trained in MRI specifically. And so I do neuro and musculoskeletal MRI. And I did an oncologic imaging fellowship when I was at Hopkins. So I'm interested in cancer imaging, and I do MRI and also PET CT, which is a nuclear medicine mode of imaging. And that is actually really important in terms of oncologic imaging. And I do love that.
That's good. What do you least like to do?
X-rays.
Plain old radiology. Okay.
Plain old radiology. I like all the new stuff, but I like the old stuff too. But the new stuff is just so interesting, and there's always something new to learn about it that I find it keeps me more interested as I'm getting older.
As an orthopedist, the thing that fascinated me most was the 3D CTs with 3D reconstruction and being able to swing the bones around and, you know, pull things out and be able to look at things from different angles. That was the thing that I always liked the best.
Yeah, I do think 3D CT is fascinating, and there's 3D MRI now as well. And with the CT and the MRI, you can change the imaging windows. And so you can concentrate on the bones for you. You can take the bones out and concentrate on the vessels for me. You can actually change your contrast and concentrate on your menisci to see if you have a meniscal tear or your ACL, or you can look at the bone marrow. So it's really neat stuff.
That's fascinating. If you could change one thing in medicine going forward, what would you like it to be?
I really wish that all patients could have equal access to medicine. I think that's the thing that frustrates me the most. I see patients who are getting a study that's not the right study because their insurance company won't let them have the right study yet. And, you know, I'm not sure why that is or what the mechanism of it is, but I wonder why they can't have the study that they really need. And then I think about all those patients that I'm not seeing who aren't getting the studies that they need either, and maybe are not even seeing physicians because there aren't enough physicians to serve everybody. I really think if people had an equal access to medicine and we had a healthy society, that our society could go farther, be healthier, and actually have less strife and be happier.
I think that's excellent. That's absolutely excellent to get more people taken care of. It's one of the objects of MedKai to get those things done, to take care of more patients. Well, this has been a fascinating discussion. I really appreciate talking to you. Thank you so much, Dr. Lorelei Ma, president of MedKai.
And thanks a lot, Steve, for having me. It was wonderful talking to you.
Thank you to Dr. Lorelei Ma, who has been our guest on MedCast, the podcast from MedKai. Tune in next time as we talk to another physician leader in Maryland and discuss the problems and future of medicine.